Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Good evening. Welcome to the show where you are the stars. Let's play the music. Newark's five-time Olympian Natalie Blake is set to chalk off yet another country. She's off to Mexico, and she's here to tell us all about it. Newark Flowserve Diamonds have been represented at the Special Olympics. Claire Huns is here with the lads. Paul Beaumont tells us about an interesting end to a week of cycling. And yesterday we told you about Neil Myson's epic bike ride that never was. Tonight, we talk to the man himself. I'm Mick Bradley, he's Tony Smith, and live on your wireless, this is Radio Newark Sport. Last night, we had Storm Aileen. Tonight, we've got a windy Tony Smith. I have a feeling tonight's show, though, like that storm, could be a little bit special. But the same cannot be said about Tony's beloved Celtic, beaten 5-0 at home last night. But my co-presenter is in a good mood, because one of his other teams, Dirty Leeds, are top of the table, no less. I've got two subjects to talk to Mr. Smith about and get his valued opinion. Yes, your mic is working now, don't worry.
Thank you very much.
Get his valued opinion.
Good evening, viewers.
Good. You're happy now, are you?
Yeah, the headphones work now.
Oh, he's been fretting about his headphones. I was quite happy, he couldn't speak. Manchester United manager Jose Mourinho accuses players of jeopardising the Champions League victory over Basel last night by playing PlayStation football. United marked their return to the competition with a 3-0 win at Old Trafford, but Mourinho was unimpressed with the second half. After 2-0, everything changed, he said. We stopped playing seriously and stopped making the right decisions. We could have put ourselves in trouble. We were playing fantasy football, PlayStation football. I don't like it. Flicks and tricks. We gambled, and you have to respect your opponent. We lost our position, our shape, and we lost our balls too easily. I didn't like it. The players relaxed too much. I reckon that's commendable to come out and say that.
The last time I heard somebody say that, I was actually at the game, and it was Paul Hart who said it. Nottingham Forest took a young team to Southwell City to commemorate the switching on of the Southwell floodlights at Bishop's Drive. And one lad caught the ball in midfield for Forest, did a drag back, and then flicked it 40 yards with backspin onto someone's toes. But the way he did it, he did a Rabona in order to play the pass. And Paul Hart jumped out of the dugout and went, "We don't do that. We take it serious. This is a football game. Respect the opposition." Everybody else on the ground went, "Wow, that's fantastic." But he was dead right.
Whatever standard of football you're playing, you should respect the opposition.
Mourinho's spot on, absolutely spot on, because Fellaini did a tremendous back heel at that tremendous pace, and all, because it worked, the crowd loved him for it. But if it had lost possession with that, and United had conceded a goal, I'd have hooked him straight away.
Yeah, I think Mourinho would have definitely done it.
Yeah.
Brendan Rodgers said his Celtic side played like 12-year-olds for a spell in the first half of their 5-0 champions.
They're improving then.
Against Paris Saint-Germain. The Scottish champions 3-0 down at the break in their Group B opener. Rodgers said he did not want to be too critical of his players, but felt they were off the pace in the first half. Look, what are those playing? But you have to look after the ball and make it work for you. First half, we didn't do that. We played like under-12s at times. It's confidence, it's belief. We're obviously missing some decisive players that could help us, and it was always going to be very tough. This is the reality of playing in the Champions League.
PSG costs 50 times more than Celtic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, in football, money talks.
But, you know, for all those that sort of moan and grumble about it should be for champions, Celtic are champions, and they have a right to be in that competition. And the team that Chelsea beat, who I can't pronounce, are also champions, and they have a right to be in that competition.
But Celtic are champions of Scotland.
They're still champions!
But, you know, in fairness,
the European Cup is about, or should be about, the champions of every league. Not about a money-making TV sponsorship farce.
Ironically, when it was called the European Cup, it was four champions. Now it's called the Champions League. You can finish fourth and get in there.
I know a team that won it back-to-back.
Well, Ajax are a very good side.
On a bad night for Celtic, though, Tony, they had an idiot invade the pitch in the first half and tried to kick Kylian Mbappe. This is the sixth time Celtic are going to be hauled up before UEFA's disciplinary commission. And what's going to happen now, almost certainly, is that ground's going to be shut for the next game.
Yeah, I mean, the problem...
If I was a Celtic supporter, I would have gone last night saying, I'm going to see two of the best players in the world.
Yeah, the trouble is with Celtic fans, like a lot of fans in Scotland, is it's a case of, simple case of drinking on empty heads. And, you know, Celtic have got some shocking supporters following their club around. And it's very unfortunate because Celtic is a great football club. It's just that because they are great and because they're by a million miles the best thing in Scotland, they attract idiots.
Right, while Mr. Smith goes and sorts our guests out and gets them into the studio, I'm going to give you some local headlines. With one match left, Newark Tennis ladies are still in the promotion race. Beat Retford later on this month, and they should be in higher division of the Notts LTA Summer League. And in more good news from the tennis club, their mixed team, including our tennis expert Claire Haytree, scored a massive 16-2 victory over local rivals Cornton at the weekend. The final race of the Newark Castle Cycling Club's time trial season was a Terrace Hill climbing event, with Alf Davis taking the honours. And more on that one from Paul Beaumont in a few minutes. Staying on two wheels, Lottie Lishiman and James Littott both collected their winners' medals at the Marley Park presentation evening.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
I was getting carried away there because I was going to go on to the next paragraph, and that says our first guest tonight are two lads from Newark Flow Serve Diamonds. Claire Huns is also here to tell us all about the story, and an old Radio Newark favourite's popped his head through the door. Damo Parkinson's here as well to say hello, I should think. Hello, Damo. Lovely to see you again. Who's going to tell me what the story is all about? I know what the story is all about, but who are we delegating to tell me what or where the two Flow Serve lads went to the Special Olympics? I think it's going to be Matt Johnson, because that's where the mics disappeared to. Matt, hello.
Hello.
Tell me, you've got a medal around your neck, you've got a wonderful T-shirt on with your name, saying Special Olympics. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Tell me a bit about it.
We went down to Sheffield for football with the Lincoln City lads.
You're all right, Matt. You're doing a grand job, mate.
We played six games. If I can think, I think we lost two and drawn one, wasn't it? And also, out of the whole week, I scored one goal. But the opening ceremony we had was brilliant.
Did you all walk in together as a team?
Yes.
Oh, great. Brilliant.
All of the East Midlands.
Yeah.
Special Olympians. There were quite a few famous faces there.
Well, there's Matt Johnson for one.
Yes.
Yes.
We had Jim Carter. He was there. And I can't remember who the other guy was. But the only person I can remember was Jim Carter being there.
Are you still playing for FlowServe Diamonds then, Matt? Is it?
Yes.
You're getting ready for this season. I'll come back to the Olympics in a minute, but FlowServe Diamonds Football Club, I've been lucky enough to see them a few times, and it's absolutely wonderful watching you all. So you're still there again?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Good, good, good. Matt? You're Matt. Damo, come and sit this side, Matt. You do better than me. Damo, tell me, how you've got involved with... I mean, FlowServe Diamonds are a wonderful club, as you obviously know now. Yes. How have you got involved?
Not necessarily involved with FlowServe Diamonds. I set up a long, long while ago, Lincoln City Disability Football Club. And then probably 4 years ago, a parent approached me with a child with Down syndrome, who was finding it quite difficult to integrate into the Pan Disability Football Club. So even though the club was for all disabilities, because of his particular needs, he was physically not as strong, he was slightly slower. So we had a meeting with the Down Syndrome Association, I've just been told 5 years ago, and we decided to set up a Down Syndrome club. Now, on the back of that, I think 3 years ago, I kind of decided that we were going to enter a team to the Special Olympics. So predominantly it was Down Syndrome Club, but then we had Matt from FlowServe, who kindly came to join us, because obviously he's friends with James, who's a member of both clubs. So after a lot of fundraising and a lot of effort from all the parents, obviously that dream became reality in August.
Brilliant. And James is sitting there nice and quietly in the corner. Hello, James. Just put the mic around to James, can you, Tony? That's it. James, you was at this football?
Yes, football at Man City. And that. And, goal and that. And, Man City and, that. And keeper Nick and, and we took the field and then took the club, and from the club. And he got today. I love it, my dad at the PCO too. And the car on Monday, big match.
So, are you playing football again this season, James?
Yep.
You love your football, don't you?
Big match on Monday.
And you're with FlowServe Diamonds, and what position do you play, James? Do you score the goals?
Yeah, big sign at one. Goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper! Brilliant, mate. Goalkeepers are my favourite. You've got to love it. You
Nick,
love goalkeepers.
And Nick keeper well. And Jack keeper. And I'm going to think that I'm going to win that one. Going away.
Mum's in charge. Brilliant, lads. What I can't understand in all this is why Mum's got a flag in her hand. Is it a flag you've got there? It's not a flag. No, it's a look at that.
Wow.
Look at that, folks. You can't see it on the radio. It is a absolute. You've seen the England. You've seen the England tops, haven't you? You know the wonderful England tops.
Dear,
this is a special Olympics. It's got James Hunsley's name on it. That is fantastic. Mum, just come to the mic a bit. How? I know you wasn't allowed to be with them. I mean, that must have been hard work for you. But you was allowed to go and watch when those played. How proud was you?
Oh, very, very. It was indescribable. Just the watching them bond together and play together for 4 days was just terrific to watch. I mean, we were getting more excited than most people, I think. You could always tell Lincoln, the East Midlands supporters with our cheering and shouting.
Well, Newark and Newark area has got further in down. When they do get behind a team, they get behind a team big time.
And we got behind our team, yeah.
Was Mum a good supporter?
Yeah, so good. Thank you.
Good, excellent. Flow Save Diamonds.
Yep.
What Damo does. How important is it for these lads?
It's been tremendous. It's built their confidence as well as their fitness, their general strength, and it's taught them friendships as well.
Damo, just sort of finally, because we're already sort of running out of time, but they only give us
an hour. That's because Tony likes talking.
Yeah, I know. They only give us an hour.
You know too well.
Damo, you've been involved in football at all levels.
Yes.
I would assume you probably get the most pride out of helping these lads play football.
Oh, incredible. Watching the games is different. It's still competitive. It's still fierce. It's still playing to win. But the enjoyment, you know, the fun, the enjoyment, the celebration, you know, when other teams are scoring, if they scored a good goal, everyone would be celebrating. It's just absolutely fantastic. And like I say, it's still competitive. There was six ability bandings. Now, the top banding was very high standard. You know, we were in one of the lower bandings because of our needs, but just absolutely fantastic to be involved with.
Fantastic. Thank you all for coming in. We'll try and get in a little bit longer as winter goes on, but we're playing catch up at the moment with everything that's gone on during the summer. Our Special Olympians. How good is that? Well done, boys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Fantastic. And we've got another Olympian coming up very soon when our Nat's in the studio. Okay, I think we've got Paul Beaumont. We have got Paul Beaumont by the modern technology and by the skin of a teeth. Paul, good evening.
I am here. Hello.
You're here. Good man. That's my introduction out of the window. Didn't get you quick enough. Paul Beaumont is, of course, Newark Castle Cycling Club, and apart from it being a momentous week, of which Paul's going to come in and tell us all about in a couple of weeks' time, the end of the summer for Newark Castle Cycling Club at the weekend with the wonderfully named Terrace Hill Climb. I went out to have a look at them. It's bordering on insanity, quite honestly. I could hardly drive the car up there. The car was down into second gear. Never mind about the push bike. But, Paul, the end to Newark Castle Cycling Club's summer season. Tell us a little bit first about this Terrace Hill Climb.
Yeah, Tony, good evening to you all. Well, the hill climb, you know, holds this sort of mystical event in the world of cycling. It's traditionally, you know, the season-ending event for all clubs around the UK. We in Newark don't have many hills in abundance, so we head off to the Vale of Bever. And Terrace Hill is one of the avenues that go up the Bever Ridge, Newark side of Bever Castle. It's the Terrace Hill itself is actually listed in Simon Warren's book, The 100 Greatest Cycling Climbs in the UK. It's a distance of about 0.6 miles. It's an average grade of 7%, maxing out at about 15%, and it nearly killed me on Sunday.
You look to be enjoying it.
I would say suffering rather than enjoying, but it's something that has to be done. And for the amateur cyclists like me, who are built for going downhill mainly, not uphill, you try and beat your last year time, but you do it once every 12 months, so it's not something we particularly train for, some of us.
And did you beat last year's time?
No.
Okay. Well, it was nice to see that Newark took the podium positions, all three podium positions. That was lovely to see. And I thought, I was particularly pleased that Alf Davis actually stood on the top of the on the podium, because he's somebody else like yourself who puts an awful lot into it, and it was a bit of a moment of glory.
It is, yeah. Alf is one of those sort of thoroughbred sort of cycling racers. You know, he's been part of the Newark Castle scene, and you know, in the regional cycling scene for many a year. But he's a little lightweight compared to me, so he's made for going uphill, even at his age. You know, so 0.6 of a mile—that's about his distance—and he can fly up there. but he finished first, so that was good.
He finished first, and that is what it's. That's his weekend made. We spoke early summer, and Newark Castle Cycling Club, I wouldn't say was sort of on a downer, but it was almost, I got the impression, treading water, and you needed a boost, a kick or something to get it back into the limelight. You've had one heck of a summer, Paul.
Well, it's not just us, is it? It's the you know, it's the whole of Newark and the surrounding area. But yeah, as a club, we have been privileged to sort of host a couple of events. As a club ourselves, we've been working really, really hard behind the scenes. You know, as all clubs, all sporting clubs, you know, around the country. You know, you're made of the backbone of volunteers who sort of give their time freely. Well, our volunteers have been working really hard, A, to put on our first open time trial event. So this is a cycling time trial association event. Anybody around the country can enter, and there's sort of cash prizes. We attracted a field of 80 riders for that, for a 25-mile time trial. We then organised, on the back of the Tour of Britain, a go-ride event around Newark Town Centre, which is something, when we heard the Tour of Britain was coming to town, I cheekily asked the local councils whether we could get some road closures in place and do something for the children. And when they said yes a couple of weeks later, yeah, we had to go and deliver. And we delivered it. We delivered it last Tuesday, despite the rain doing its best to put a damper on things. We had 80 youngsters hurdling themselves around Newark Market Square on a closed road circuit. We'd like to think that was the main event, but then some adults turned up the following day and showed everybody how it's supposed to be done in the Tour of Britain Stage 4 finish in Newark. So, yeah, couldn't advertise cycling better, really, could it?
You have worked hard. I mean, the cycling Tour of Britain coming to Newark was the almost the catalyst, wasn't it? But what you've built around that... we'll have a longer chat when you come in.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Has Newark Castle Cycling Club benefited from what has been an amazing few weeks?
It has, to be honest. You know, and all of this work is you know, hand on heart aimed at trying to increase the profile of cycling and our cycling club, of course. There are lots of other cycling clubs, you know, in the local area who have also sort of gained from the Tour of Britain coming. But us in particular, we've had new cyclists, seniors and juniors, joining our club, both on our time trials, on our social runs, and last night actually we had about seven new youngsters turn up for the first time, having, you know, raced in the town centre the week before and seen the tour, and now want to cycle themselves. So, you know, that's terrific, and that's what it's all about. It's just getting
at the end of the day. That's what we're all after, isn't it? Getting the youngsters to participate in sport.
Absolutely, you know, and I think, having, you know, that the strength of the, you know, the youngsters coming through, it really, I think, advertises the requirement of, you know, having some safe cycling facilities in Newark, and that's why we are working with the YMCA to deliver the sports village, which will include this 750-meter closed circuit cycle track, which will be fabulous for the town and the community.
We cross our fingers on that one, Paul. Paul, I think you and Alf and the gang are coming in when I get it organised sometime in early October, when we can have a really good look back at a memorable summer, not only for cycling, but for Newark Castle Cycling Club.
That's great, Mick. Appreciate your help.
We'll catch you then. Thank you, Paul.
Cheers. Cheers, Tony. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Paul Beaumont there, a very happy Paul Beaumont. Let's see if we can pick up three of the stories that you might have missed that's making the national headlines.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
England will play World Champions New Zealand for the first time since 2014 as part of next autumn's internationals at Twickenham. Eddie Jones' side hosts South Africa in the first match on November the 3rd, then the All Blacks on the 10th, and they also face Japan and Australia. We want to win Series 4 nearly, says. And there's no reason why they shouldn't. They're only from New Zealand. They're not special.
Might be Japan.
Yeah. Goalkeeper Edison has been named in Manchester City's team for tonight's opening Champions League match at Feyenoord. The Brazilian, of course, needed 8 stitches in his face after being caught by that infamous high boot, on Saturday. He trained on Tuesday and he's wearing a head guard. You see, he's a goalkeeper. They don't get hurt. 4-time Tour de France winner Chris Froome will compete for Great Britain in the individual time trial at the Road World Championships in Norway. However, 2011 champion Mark Cavendish, who broke his shoulder in July's tour, and Garrett Thomas have withdrawn from selection for the road race. The World Champions take place between the 17th and the 24th of September in Bergen.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
This is Radio Newark Sport with me and him, and it's time to welcome back one of our favourites, the globe-trotting Natalie Blake.
Evening.
Hiya, Nat.
Evening.
We're going to talk about a little trip to the other side of the world in a few minutes, but you knew the guys that was in a little bit earlier on, didn't you?
Yeah, I do.
How special was those Olympics for them? You've been to 5 Paralympics, so you've been on the world stage, but for Matt and for James and for the other lads, how special would that have been?
I think it would be really special for them, and having an experience of doing what they did would be absolutely great for them.
Sport for them, because we've said many occasions, and I've got to get the wording right here, when I was a youngster and when Tony was starting out on his career, we wouldn't be interested. Sport wasn't interested, was he?
No.
You know, and it's people like yourself that's broke the mould, really. And sport now is all encompassing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if those lads was 50 years old, they probably would have never kicked football in their lives. And that's sad.
Yeah.
Tony?
It's lovely to hear Damo talk about everybody celebrating when they score a goal. including the team that it's been scored against, which I've actually witnessed. And we only have to talk about that night when you went up to Flow Serve and the Diamonds were there. What a very, very special occasion it is. And like, sort of, it just transcends sport, doesn't it? And becomes sheer enjoyment of humanity. It really is wonderful to see. And it's true that, although we keep repeating it a lot, in my day as sports editor, if a disabled, for the want of use of the word, if a disabled sportsman or woman achieves something, it goes on the news pages. And
yeah.
I'm so glad that the world has moved on, you know.
Now you read about Natalie Blake on the back page of the Advertiser, not on page 14, paragraph 5. And that's what you should be.
Yeah.
You're our leading sports person, you know, 5 times Olympian.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're there, at the top.
Newark Steve Redgrave.
Yeah. I'm not that close.
How difficult in the early days, Natalie, did you find it to break into sport? Was you always made welcome?
A little bit, yeah. But you had to focus and you had to really train hard to get noticed and to show that you're improving. To get them to see.
You make people notice
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
With achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've done that, girl. You've done that. Next on your world tour, is it a country you've never been to?
No, this is a country I've been to. This will be my second time. This will be Mexico.
And you've been to Mexico before?
Yeah.
Do you collect air miles?
I wish I could.
So, tell us a bit about what it's all about, first of all. What's the championship?
It's the World Championships. So, it's going to be a big competition, and it's going to be a tough one for a lot of people because they'll probably want different goals to achieve. So, there's going to be lots of athletes there.
So, you're representing Team GB?
Yes.
What was the qualification? Was there a GB event or an England event, or how did you come about to go? I know why you come about to go to Mexico, because you're the best, but how did you, you know?
Well, I did the British in June, and I had to qualify for that to go to Mexico. So now I'm going to Mexico, and I'm going to go there and do PBs. I'm not looking for a medal at the moment. It would be nice and a bonus to have a medal. But right now, I'm just going to go out there and just give out some PBs and try and get back on funding. So
That's this is what I get from the athletes and from the swimmers. They go out, and if they can get a personal best, they've improved. Is there somebody better than them? Fair comment. But you've improved on your best.
Yeah. Well, if I improve, it'll show that I'm improving, and it'll help me to get back onto funding, which will be a really help for me.
The funding situation then, this is lottery funding, is it?
Yes.
So you've had it, and at the moment it's not there.
Yeah.
I feel, I'm going to open it right out now, it's wonderful, lottery funding, and because of lottery funding, we've probably got the best cyclists in the world, and
it's UK funding,
a lot of sports have done absolutely fantastic. But it is fairly cutthroat, isn't it? Because if someone up there decides that badminton or swimming or whatever have underperformed and not got the medals that they were set, that's it. It's cut.
Yes.
I just think that's... I'd be interested in what you think. I think that's harsh because surely you've got to bring in on these sports. You ain't going to bring them on if you cut the funding.
Yeah, it is hard. I've been there a few times, and, you know, I get used to it. But I just focus and I just carry on to do what I'm doing, and that's lifting weights, regardless of if I've got funding or not. I just carry on. As much as I can.
You have to go above the politics, don't you, and just carry on doing what
you do. I leave the politics to my dad and to the coaches and that, and I just focus purely
just
in the gym.
Just concentrate on lifting. Okay, and that's actually, Tony, a good answer, isn't it?
It's the only way to approach it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the danger is you could just go, well, forget it then. And then the sport has lost a competitor. Just that frustration that... the great God funding.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. The sort of thing I would do is throw my toys out and walk away. Yeah.
Most people would, but but it's a sign of a champion to take Natalie's attitude.
1-0 Natalie.
Yeah. Natalie won, lottery nil.
Exactly. So, when are we going to Mexico?
The 26th of September.
That's not long ago. That's getting close.
He's getting very close.
I hope you've packed your sombrero.
I haven't even packed yet.
I've been more worried about earthquakes.
Don't start on that one.
It wasn't in Mexico. I take it this is Mexico City you're going to, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, the earthquake was thousands of miles away from it.
That was in Mexico,
so. Yeah, but it was... you'd be all right.
So you're taking Mick as a confidence coach then, aren't
you? No.
How does it work when you go away with Team GB? Do you all... Because, I mean, Claire was telling us there, once even with the Special Olympics, Mum and Dad was allowed nowhere near them. How does it work when you go away then? What's the timetable?
Well, Dad takes me to the airport, and then I meet up with the whole team, and I say goodbye to him. And we go through the terminal. You know?
I suppose you're used to it now, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm used to it now, so.
How hard was it first time?
Well, I used to go away with school, so I'm it didn't really bother me that much.
So. He is listening, so you are supposed to say you're missing.
So, you know, it was just a normal for me.
Yeah.
How are you looked after?
Over there, I mean, you know, we like to think that Team GB is in a lovely hotel and everything is there and your food requirements, your dietary requirements are all taken care of. Is that a dream or is that the case? Is it sort of, oh, fend for yourself?
We are looked after, but we can also look after ourselves, you know. So there are requirements there, and there is a room full of food, and we just help ourselves on different times. So, yeah, it's really good.
And are you allowed to sort of go out and watch the other events or go into Mexico City, or are you sort of... I was talking to Anna Smith when she went with the... GB Juniors to the West Indies, and luckily her event was on day one, so she'd got the next 6 days to watch everything else. The people whose event wasn't until day six was hotel bound until it was their event. Is that pretty much?
We can go out if we're all like lifted. We'll all go out and do things. So yeah, and we all go to our competitions and support each other, so it'll be a good event.
I feel very sort of I don't know what the word is tonight, Tony, but we've got Special Olympics polo shirts, we've got British weightlifting polo shirts, you know, and, oh.
I wore this
and I've got Marks and Sparks on mine.
I wore this last time I was
here. I know, but you're so I love it when, you know, you people have earned the right to wear something like that. They wear it with pride, and I like that.
Yeah,
and you should do as well. You know,
I've earned the right to wear this because I've been to Edinburgh on the train.
Yeah,
everything.
And they sent you and they sent you straight back as well.
Yeah, hit those Asbos.
Personal best. So I don't sort of know the technical terms in weightlifting. Tony's our expert on all sports I don't understand, so he will. I take it you've got different weight limits and different standards, the different competitions for... Explain the rudiments of weightlifting for somebody who doesn't know.
Well, you start off with whatever weight you want to on your first attempt, and then you'll gradually build it up to your second and third. And then you can do a fourth attempt.
Smile!
You can do a fourth attempt, which will be a PB, a world record, a European record, that kind of thing.
So I've just been taking a photo for our social media sites while she's been chatting away there, and as soon as she realised what was happening, the scowl on her face.
You could have warned me.
Comb me hair. She's busy combing her hair now before she'll speak again. Go on, carry on. Sorry. So where are you in all this? What's your PB at the moment?
103 kilos.
Right, now put that in English so I can understand it. Tony?
I've got an idea, but anyway, it's...
103 kilos into pounds and... Anyway.
I just know it as kilos.
You know, you're young. We're old.
Yeah, I think it's a bit unfair you're looking at me to talk about weights.
Could you lift Tony? No, we're fine with that. Well, let's put it like this. I weighed myself at work yesterday and I was just over 80 kilos. So yeah. Natalie could lift me plus another quarter of me. Cried, Nat.
I went on one of those speak your weight machines. It says no coach parties. I was quite offended.
He's here all week, folks. I can't help it, he's contracted.
I've been called some things in my life.
Yes. Okay. You've lost me now for words.
So what is your aim then in Mexico?
Well got out of Tony.
I would love to lift about 106 to 107 kilos.
Yeah.
And I'm capable of doing that when I'm there.
Is it? It's not just a question, is it, of sheer brute strength. You've got to have a mental attitude and be right. The head's got to be right on the day.
Yes.
Because the head is going to tell the body, I can't do this.
Yes.
So how much do you have? It's probably easy to coach you to lift. How much is the mental side of it? Is that all down to you or...
Yeah. I have to tell myself I can do this, so...
Do you have a regime then before you go out there that you've got to get... You know, footballers will say, I'm in the zone, whatever that means. But do you have to go in a zone?
Yeah, I have to block everything around me and just focus on the bench and what I'm doing. And listen to the referee behind me. And then listen to the coach at the other at the side of me when he shouts his commands. So, yeah.
Do you know when you go out there... Do you have this sort of feeling, something, oh, it's not my day today. I can't get my head around this. Or are you a positive person to every time you do go out there, say, I can, I will?
I do have, in training, I have them days. But in competition, I try and stay focused and positive. And if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. I can't explain why. Even though I've gone out there and given it all my best.
Interesting, isn't it? Do you, when you've sort of finished and you come off and you have a bit of a debrief, is it, I could have done better, I should have done better, or I did the best I could today?
It depends on how I felt, but we usually have a talk, the coaches and I, and we decide if that was good or not. And what we can change and stuff like that to make it better.
It's like any sport, isn't it, Tony? There's a lot more to it than what we watch on television and sort of next on stage, representing Team GB is Natalie Blake. We don't see what's gone on for the hour before that, when she's actually getting her mindset into doing this.
Yeah.
I think with sport, the ability is 25% of the whole, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the other 75% is mental attitude. And that's what separates the quality from the also-rans. That's the difference between gold and bronze, is mental attitude and mental fortitude. If you haven't got that, don't get on the plane.
Yeah.
Do you still get a kick out of it? I mean, do you still want to do it? I mean, how long have you been weightlifting now?
About 20...
Yeah, so a long time. A long
years.
Time.
Yeah.
You started when you were three.
Aw, isn't you sweet?
Now you're creepy now.
Do you ever have days when you think, no, no more?
Yeah, I did. But then I sort of got out with that and came back to normal and just...
And that's excellent, because you do get burnout.
Yes.
In any sport, you get burnout, and I tend to think we start our youngsters off almost too early in life, and like you, done it for 20 years by the time they're 25 years old, and you must get to a stage where, I've had enough of this. I can't achieve anymore. I've seen it. I see footballers and rugby players by the late 20s saying, enough's enough. Well, Rooney at 32, he'd had his time at Man United. Enough was enough. He was treading water. He's got another 7 or 8 years in front of him, if he keeps off the drink.
Yeah. But I do have them days, but I haven't got nothing else to do. So, I love my lifting and I love going to the gym, so...
Excellent. Don't go away, because we've got another phone call to make, and then we'll have another three or four minutes before the end of the show. Okay?
Okay.
Now, contrary to normal belief, this show is actually sort of scripted and put together, and it's not just let's hope for the best. So,
really,
sat down with the producer over the weekend. we scripted everything, and there's going to be phone calls on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, and next Tuesday to a young man that is cycling between Land's End and Jono Groves. Good evening, Neil Myson. Nice you to join us. You shouldn't be joining me tonight from somewhere in the Midlands. You're actually joining us from
Newark. I should be in Stoke-on-Trent.
Yes, we spoke last night, Neil, about sporting dreams that sometimes didn't happen, and we mentioned Bev Hendley and we mentioned Louise Orgill, and something that you've been building up to all year.
Yeah, about a year.
All sporting things in your calendar this year. Well, Race Direct and Newark Half Marathon. 10 out of 10, brilliant day, everything was perfect. And an individual event, which was this cycle ride for charity from Land's End to Jono Groves. Yeah. But as ever, with the best laid plans, Neil, what went wrong?
Well, started off almost on schedule from Land's End on Monday morning, about half an hour late. Wasn't too bad, I wasn't too fussed about that. The day progressed, I got a little bit behind schedule, and some people have said, how did you manage that? But I somehow made it across the border into Devon, and I was approaching Tiverton. That must have been about 10 miles away from Tiverton. Getting tired, the weather was starting to get a bit nasty. It's about 5-ish, I think. About then, my GPS was telling me to do things I wasn't sure about, and I was pushing up a hill, and I now realise I should have gone right at the top of the hill, and I went left, and I started going west, which is not the right direction to go.
No.
And then the heavens opened, and I could hardly see in front of a face, and you know what Devon lanes are like. They're high-sided hedges, grass growing in the middle of the field, they bend all over the place, and this lane kept on going on and on and on, and eventually got to this top of the hill. I think looking at my stats, I climbed about 500 metres at about 10 kilometres or something silly like that, which is, anybody who cycles knows, a heck of a distance to climb. And I got to the top, I looked at my watch and it was 6:30, and I thought, I should be at my B&B, and I thought, it should only be about 3 miles away, looking at how far I come. And I thought, it feels like I'm in the wrong place. It feels like I'm in the middle of nowhere. I didn't realise at the time I was actually on the southern reaches of Exmoor, and hence the weather was closing in rather quickly and rather horribly. So I got on the phone to Jono and said, right, I think you'd better come and pick me up. I've just Googled where I am, and it says I'm still over an hour away. And I said, I should only be 3 miles away. And he said, where are you? And I said, I'm standing at this road junction. And I just gave him a couple of things. I said, I want to be, and he gave him this road number, 3272, or something like that. And he said, the two places you've given me, one of them's near Torquay. He said, you've gone the wrong way, radically wrong way. And I said, oh, I can't believe, no, I'm sure I haven't done that. And eventually managed to, I just saw this little sign that said some nursery. So I Googled it and said, right, here's a postcode. I said, I'm a mile and a half away from it, so 45 minutes an hour later he arrived, having got lost on the way. By this time I was stopped and I was getting cold, shivering quite a lot, and so put the bike in the back of the car. Happy days, getting a nice warm car, pizza waiting for me on the dashboard, a bit cold but I didn't mind that, started chomping away on it. And I look up and I said, oh, so are you going back the way we came? He said, yeah. He said, oh, it's getting pretty dark, and I got lost. My TomTom got me lost on the way, so I thought I'd sort of head back towards where you said the main road is, a mile away. I thought, yeah, okay. And I said, well, why have we just turned left? He said, well, the TomTom's taking you this way. So I said, oh, okay, fair enough. This looks like a good way, doesn't it? TomTom, thanks very much. And I thought nothing of it, looked up again, and said, well, he was swearing, basically. It turned into a farm track. It was a lane that was just typical Devon, and it was this farm track, and it was like, we were looking at each other going, can't reverse out of this one, it's too narrow. And so we just had to go forward, and we went in this dip, and there was water running across the track. I could just see the water glinting in the headlights as we approached it, and all of a sudden there's this enormous bang, crunching noise under the car, and we just, immediately my heart sank. He got away from where we'd hit it, and he got out because all the alarms are going off on the dashboard, and he said, "Mate, there's oil spewing out under the car." Oh no, no, this is not happening.
Oh dear, so a nice man in a big yellow lorry had to get you back to Newark.
Well, yes, that happened yesterday, but we were stuck in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of countryside we had no clue about, and you know Jono, he's Afghan veteran.
Yes, should have stomped out of it. Yes.
Well, he would have stomped on, yeah, he did actually. The car was lost power, was losing power, and I ended up, we were literally only about 200 or 300 metres from the tarmac at this point, and it was grass, couldn't get any power out of it at all, and I ended up pushing it onto the tarmac. It's telling me to go left, so we swung the wheel around to go left, and then the engine cut out and there was nothing happening, and so we've got to get it moved, got to get the car further down here. He said, "I don't know where we are." And we got pushed the car so far down, and he said, hold on. He said, get in the car. And it was like I was being given an order. It's like, get in the car. I just thought, right, I'm going to sit here. He turned the blowers on, shut the door, said, just stay there. Didn't tell me what he was doing, and he just went off. So I remember seeing his pathetic leg glinting in the car headlights as it disappeared down the road, thinking, what do I do now? Stay here. And about... it felt like ages, but it must have been about three quarters of an hour later, there's a pair of headlights behind me. And what had happened, he'd spotted some lights, which were a farm, and he literally had run for about a mile and a half down this road, and been able to call the recovery services from, they got his our phones, by the way, were cutting out, the signals, it was cutting out. Yes, no, it's Devon as well, you go down the zip and it goes. That was part of the problem all day, of being losing my contact with GPS as well.
Oh dear. Neil, I'm running out of time. Yes. The question.
Go on.
Are you doing it again?
Of course.
Good man. Any ideas when?
It's not. Jono wants us to do it in a couple of weeks when his car's fixed.
Good. Excellent.
I said, no, that's not going to happen. I said, the weather's turning now.
Yes, it is.
Daylight's going. So
spring next year.
Possibly spring next year.
Good.
Yeah.
Neil, we'll look forward to that. It's a fantastic story you've told us, but it is a story in adversity, and you know it's not every time sport goes right. And
no,
we've had, you know, this week we've reported on when it hasn't gone right. But the main thing is you're smiling. And you're going to do it again.
Yes,
and that's
exactly
what it's all about.
Yep.
Come in and have a chat with us before you do it. And,
I will, yeah.
We'll follow you again next time.
All right, okay.
Thanks, Neil.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. You see, it doesn't go right every single time. We're running out of time, but we have just got time left to wish our Nat all the best in Mexico. Bring back a personal best. Bring back a medal, if you can. Go on, you can, I'm sure you can. But whatever you do while you're out there, let us know and we can tell the rest of Newark how you're getting on.
Yeah, I'll give you a message on
your messenger.
Good, excellent. And from us, bye-bye.